This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine flying Emirates business class to Milan with three kids under six, champagne flowing, a bar in the sky, and your five-year-old asking the flight attendant to make her bed. That's not a dream. That's exactly what today's guest, Natasha, pulled off. But not just once, twice. From Lake Como's Grand Hotel Victoria, to the Park Hyatt Milan, to a perfectly planned European summer that most families would call impossible, Natasha has mastered the art of family luxury travel using points and miles. In this episode, she shares how a single Instagram ad turned into a strategy that's taken her family across Europe in business class, with hotels that, in her words, ruined them for normal travel. Plus, we'll unpack her next big adventure, flying Emirates and Singapore Airlines on the way to the Maldives this Christmas. So regardless if you're a solo traveler or juggling strollers and status nights, this one's proof that family travel can be just as bold and just as luxurious.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. My name is DeAndre Koch. Have a fantastic guest on the show ready for all of you all today. Before we introduce her, a couple of quick reminders. The first one, you can watch all of these episodes in their entirety on YouTube. And for our YouTube listeners that I know, or watchers, I should say, that only watch on YouTube, don't forget that we do have our audio only quick hits every Friday that are all the up-to-date news in the world of travel and points and miles. I know that's a huge hit with our listenership. I'd argue some people probably like those more than these full episodes. So if you're not catching those, you got to check them out. And then also we do have our Boldly Go Travels YouTube account, which are all of our more vlog style videos. Now, to get into today's guest, we have Natasha, who is a longtime listener, now a guest on the show. And where this actually happened to come from, or how she got on the show today, is in our WhatsApp community chat. She dropped a few nuggets of travel and trips that she's taken with her family. And I was like, hey, that actually could make for a really cool episode. Reached out to her. She said, yes, I'd love to come on. And well, Natasha, welcome to the show.
Hi, DeAndre. Thank you so much for having me. Again, my name is Natasha Finch. I am a stay-at-home mom, previously a patent attorney and HR investigator before deciding to stay at home with three kids under six. So not just some super wild adventures and aspirational trips, but add to that a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and a newly turned one-year-old. And I'm from Connecticut, and our home airports are either JFK or Newark, but hey, for a great deal, I'm happy to travel wherever.
So, I mean, you're clearly busy, not just from a travel standpoint, but a family standpoint more specifically. But I've got to ask you, Natasha, before we start unpacking some of these incredible trips that you've taken last year, you took this year, that you have upcoming, that I think are really going to make some great stories for other families to hear about, especially families with, you know, more than one child. My question for you is, how'd you get into the world of Points and Miles as a whole? We all have our own different stories of getting into this world. How did you find Points and Miles?
Yeah, I mean, funny story, or maybe it's not, but you know how people usually follow Instagram just to get travel inspiration? Well, that was me. And I ended up coming across a travel mom squad on Instagram for their free webinar back in, what, January or February of 2023. So going on about 2.5 years now. And I figured, why not? It's a free course. I can either learn something or, you know, rule out whether it's a scam or not. Well, definitely not a scam and one of the best decisions of our life. And once I figured out what to do, what cards to open, how to best utilize everything, we actually had a cash paid trip to Paris in the south of France for that summer. But we booked Delta Comfort Plus, which, no shade, but, you know, definitely not business class. Then I realized, hey, I have 120,000 Amex points. About a month out, there was actually a transfer bonus. So I was able to secure 3 business class seats. We only had 2 kids at the time, one of which was a lap infant. So I got on the phone, made sure that I was able to secure those seats first. One of those seats actually went away. So now we're only looking at 2 seats at that saver rate. But the angel customer service rep actually pulled out a 3rd seat out of nowhere, which I totally understand that your mileage may vary, but it worked for us. So that first trip to Europe, not just as a couple, but as a family in business class, really set that tone. And oh, by the way, we paid less than $1,000 for all of this. This is the only way that we can travel to Europe now.
I was going to say, so did that ruin your flights in general? Because you just went from, you know, planning to do Delta Comfort Plus to getting business class for less than $1,000. You said set the tone. I mean, I assume for the most part now, the goal is, hey, if we're going long haul, we're flying business class.
Absolutely. And I actually had the conversation with my husband this week. And I asked him, what's our threshold? At what point are we cool with doing, you know, Avelo, which is our local budget airline? Okay, that's a 2-hour flight to Florida. We're good with that. But is it 5 hours that we now want to do business or first? Is it 6 hours? And, you know, 5 or 6 hours tends to be our threshold now.
Makes perfect sense. So, Natasha, you saw something on Instagram. You were like, is this a scam or not? Which I think a lot of people think, hey, it's got to be. There's like in the world where things that seem too good to be true often are. Points and Miles, when done correctly, as we always have to kind of caveat there, when done correctly, can be a huge win for individuals and for families. So that was your taste into it. You flew business class. I'm curious, what was your husband's kind of level of engagement or interest at that stage? Because I'm sure it's evolved over the years. And I know we've talked a little bit offline as well about kind of where he's at now. But at the initial phase, was it, this is, you know, how are we doing this? Or was he all in like, oh, you watch this webinar? Like, hey, let's do it. Like, what was that connection like initially?
I feel like for a lot of people in this hobby, you have a really excited and ambitious P1 or player one, and then your P2 spouse, partner, what have you, is kind of reluctant or just kind of goes with the flow. But, you know, you're really the only person opening up cards. That was him for that first trip. And once we were on that flight and he's having wine and beer on the plane, he's able to lay flat. And I see you nodding your head because this moment has happened to everyone. Then he said, how much did we pay for this? And we're sitting next to people that paid full price for this. This is what I want to do. So at that point, that's when he, you know, slowly started to say, okay, I'm going out to lunch with my friends and, you know, him and his boys, they have a Romeo group chat. He's always asking me, you know, what card do I use for lunch? What do I use for this business expense? So at first it was a really slow roll. And now it's, hey, how do I check the minimum spend? I'm $100 off, but I have a couple few, you know, intensive business expenses. What card should I open? So it went from, okay, do whatever you have to do to now, what card am I using? What card am I opening? You know, just give me an Apple list of what I use and where. So very excited to use everything now.
Got it. And that's typically the evolution, as you said, right? There's usually a little bit of reluctance. I will say that my fiance, Taryn, I guess by the time this airs, actually, she'll be my wife. But my fiance, Taryn, she from day one, I was like, I think it was like our second date. I was like, hey, this is the value of the Amex Platinum card. She was like, cool, done, got it. Right. You know, and there was like evolution from there, especially once we actually did our first business class trip together and a bunch of different things. But a lot of people, they don't get that experience. They get a lot of more hesitancy, a lot more reluctance until they really experience it and they start to see, okay, this is actually really viable. This makes a lot of sense. This takes a little bit of strategy, which can be the annoyance, but over time it can evolve into something more. And that's where I want to transition to, because I know one of the trips that we had talked about or that you had mentioned in the group chat was the fact that you did an amazing trip last summer flying JFK to Milan on Emirates with a few iconic stays in there. And you've actually done that trip twice. So I really want to hear about that. And let's just start first with, well, actually, you know what? Why don't you just share what that first summer 2024 trip was like?
So that was actually my baby moon. So talk about really baller. I mean, unfortunately, I couldn't drink wine when we were in Italy, but you know, I was able to eat as much as I wanted, and it was amazing. So we had heard such amazing things about the Emirates Fifth Freedom JFK to Milan on the A380. And when I initially booked about a year out, which when you have more than two or three people that you have to book for, that's key, just so that everyone can be on the same flight and you don't run into any issues. But once we booked it, it was actually the Boeing 777, which, okay, I'm not, you know, trying to poo-poo, but when I had read reviews compared to the A380, you know, I was a little disappointed. Then about 2 months out, they actually changed the aircraft to the A380. So my husband was able to sip champagne, you know, in the golden bar in the sky, have lobster pasta, have my daughter ask a flight attendant to make her bed, and also you're going to have a Bulgari amenity kit. You're ruined. Like, between the service, the hard product, the soft product, everything that you get, you're done. And then you wake up and you're in Italy in the middle of the afternoon and you can eat your face off. Like, you're done. So we did that. And then we booked the Grand Hotel Victoria, which at the time was bookable via Hyatt points. And I think we used about 29,000 points, which now it's bookable through Hilton. Great use of your free night certificates, because I don't even want to know how many points a night it is right now. But that hotel will absolutely ruin you, because you walk in, everything is marble. The breakfast spread is amazing, which is free with either the Hyatt points at the time or Hilton points now. And you can either choose an inside or an outdoor dining. And then your view either way is of the lake, which is absolutely breathtaking with the pre-Alps. It's just stunning, like so stunning that I think it's Zoe Saldana. She did the Grey Goose commercial that was filmed there. So you just have all levels of luxury. And if you have kids, which that's pretty much all I talk about, they can actually access the spa pools, I want to say either 2 or 3 hours a day, which was a huge selling point because we went end of May. So their beach club wasn't open yet and the water was still too cool to swim in. So it was a great way to relax. And now my daughter gets disappointed when there isn't a hotel spa for her to go to. So this ruined her as well.
That's awesome. Now, when you went, I'm not sure, Natasha, have you focused at all on a Hyatt or a Hilton status? Did you get anything from a status standpoint when it was with Hyatt there? Was like, you know, even with no status at all, was it just an incredible stay by itself?
Honestly, even with no status at all, like this is actually our first year that we're aggressively working towards Hyatt globalist status. So we didn't have any status there. But again, because it was an SLH property, I don't even know if status would have played a role, but they were honestly just amazing. Like my kids turned 4 and 2 respectively on that trip, and they brought them balloons and a cake each day. They had robes for my daughter as a toddler. So again, that hotel will ruin you. And I always recommend, it doesn't hurt to ask. I know in Europe especially, the room occupancy is either 2 or 3 people. You either have to get a standard suite, multiple rooms, what have you. we reached out ahead of time and we were actually able to fit all four of us into that standard room, which was great. But then fast forward to the Park Hyatt Milan, which again, will ruin you. Stunning. The shower is what bathroom remodel renovations are made of. Marble everywhere. Right around the corner is the famous Duomo. It was just absolutely stunning. And the service is remarkable. And they have a strawberry daiquiri machine right when you first enter. It's amazing. But we used 90,000 Hyatt points for a single night just to be able to get one junior suite, a regular room, and then had to top it off with a little bit of cash to make it connecting rooms. So was it worth it for the night to experience it? Absolutely. Did we do it again when we flew back to Milan? No, because I just couldn't justify using that many points the second time around. So we did the Lake Como region. We did Milan for a night. We took the train to Venice, which was my favorite city in Europe. It's just so romantic. Highly recommend it if you've never been. But we actually did a cash stay there. So we did cash for Venice and Florence because, granted, those were two last-minute add-ons to our trip. So one, there wasn't any award availability at the standard rates for either Hyatt or Hilton. And out of principle, I'm not going to pay more than I need to, points-wise or cash. So we were able to find pretty affordable stays on cash and stay in a mini suite, which we had to do anyway. And then we stopped in London on the way back home at the Andaz Liverpool, which we used points to get a family room for. And it's great location, great price point. But FYI, that's actually one of the hotels where you can get a Hyatt family rate. So if we wanted to, we could have used points for one room and then get 50% off the cash rate on the second room. And then we flew premium economy home because we were about a year into our points and miles journey when we booked. And unfortunately, we did not have enough points to fly home in business class. So premium economy at, I think we paid 70,000 Virgin miles and then $1,500 cash for all of us, which I thought was a pretty great rate. So yeah, that was pretty much our summer 2024 trip. Let me know if you have any questions on that or if you just want me to jump right into summer 2025.
No, before we jump into summer 2025, I want to cover a few of the things you said there. Because I think that was an incredible trip that you just broke down in the stays and loved everything about it, especially your phrase of like, this hotel will ruin you. Because I remember, I think you put that in the chat and I was like, yes, I want to hear more. So a lot of those things that you broke down were absolutely incredible. But Natasha, I got to ask, I think, of course, we have listeners from A, all over the world, but B, all over the country, all different economic backgrounds and things like that. You had mentioned, well, actually, no, I think it was your previous trip that you had talked about in 2023 that was already kind of paid for with cash. So this one was actually game plan as a points trip overall. Do you think you would have ever taken a trip like this to this degree at this stage of your life prior to finding out about points and miles?
To the level that we planned this trip? Absolutely not. Would we have stayed in maybe a 3-star or a 4-star to stretch our budget? Sure. I mean, that's what we were planning to do in France. But again, it was a trip that was planned to go with family, friends. So it was just something to do to expand our horizons. And then once we got into this game, we never would have spent $1,500 a night at a hotel starting. Now we're staying at like $2,000, $2,500 a night. Insane amounts of money. So no, we wouldn't have done this caliber trip, but now we're hooked and we want to show our kids the world and see the world for ourselves.
Now, I know that this was planned, so that was 2024, and you obviously booked that much earlier back, so I'm assuming sometime 2023. So it may make sense to cover this question on the next trip, but if you happen to remember, because this was still earlier in your points game, and there's listeners that are very new to this world, they're a few months in, they're a few weeks into points and miles, a trip that you just broke down like that sounds incredible. It's aspirational. It's got all the things that you could want, whether you're a couple or you're a family. But that's not a day one, like, oh, I just got to select this place, and this place, and go. So can you talk through a little bit of how difficult was it to find the redemptions, to book the locations and the stays for this trip? And if you want to go more higher level, because again, I know this is probably going back to almost 2 years ago when you actually did it, but can you think a little bit high level when you kind of take your mind back to what that process was like?
Yeah. And I feel like points and miles, I don't want to speak for everyone else, but for at least me, it's cyclical because I'm even feeling it now. I feel like I'm points poor right now because we just finished booking Europe for July of 2026. Now, my husband has points. I don't now. But I definitely remember feeling really discouraged when it came time to plan this summer Italy 2024 trip because I had just enough points to get us there in business class, just enough points to stay at the Grand Hotel Victoria, but really nothing else in between. And I knew that I really wanted to stay at that hotel. And I knew at the time award availability was non-existent for this trip. I actually had the Emirates flight booked for June. And then I got massive alerts saying that the Grand Hotel Victoria released availability. The only thing I found for four nights in a row was actually end of May. So I made sure to check the Emirates app, make sure that there were three business class seats because my son was a lap infant at the time. Once all of that got squared away, with Emirates, you actually have to cancel, pray that you get your points back in time, and then worry about getting the taxes and fees refund later. So we did all of that. I was able to book those two legs. Everything else we pretty much paid for in cash. And then I just had to figure out, okay, how are we getting home from London? And we figured out London because, frankly, we wanted to have either premium economy or business. But as I said earlier, we just didn't have enough points for it. So at that point, I was getting pretty discouraged. Like, we don't have enough points to travel at the caliber. We just need to, you know, really work on our strategy. And that's where shopping portals like Rakuten really come in, where around the holidays, you can get an insane amount of points pretty quickly. And now I actually like the Capital One shopping portal even more because I find that there's even higher aggregators. And you also get the points within a couple days, if not a couple weeks, instead of once a quarter. So I hope that that answers your question, but it's definitely the, you know, do I have enough? Okay, I think I have enough. Am I going to follow the destination or am I going to follow the deal? And here, luckily, they coincided. But for our summer 2026, I'm definitely following the deal.
No, I love that. And it was exactly what I was asking, because I think it's important to unpack the mindset behind points and miles. And of course, I've had the episodes that are like psychology of points and what does Warren Buffett do and all sorts of things. But to really talk to someone that says, hey, I feel like it's cyclical. I've had this feeling of being points poor. It's very different than when I've had guests on the show that are like, oh, I've got millions of points and I'm not ever worried about ever running out of points. It's a very different mindset and understanding that there are opportunities for frustration. There's that feeling of, okay, I'm going to hit cancel and my heart's going to be racing until I can see that the points have actually arrived back in my account, or else now I don't have a flight here or this flight that I'm wanting to book, right? So there's these fears and emotions that come up with points bookings that really doesn't happen in the cash booking world, but that's a little bit of what it takes to be able to fly to the level of luxury that we have now become accustomed to flying. So I think that perfectly answers that question. And so I'm going to then segue that mentality to tell us about your 2025 trip, because you kind of did it all over again in some ways, but not others. So can you talk about your trip that you just took this year?
Yeah, so we love the JFK to Milan route so much that we did it again. And similar to the year prior, we booked, I want to say 350 some odd days whenever the Emirates calendar opened out, because it's so popular that it is hard to find 3-4 plus seats. And now that my son was no longer a lap infant and our baby was born, she's now our lap infant. We now needed 4 tickets. And instead of 261,000 miles for 3 Emirates seats, we now needed 348K, which I'm seeing your face. It's insane because it is. But we're also very fortunate that, or unfortunate, I don't know how you want to phrase having, you know, young kids and between sports and childcare and diapers and this and that, we have a lot of spend. So we're opening up cards. And we're very fortunate that my husband runs a successful law firm. Shout out to the Finch Firm for any of your personal injury needs in the Connecticut area. Sorry, shameless plug.
No worries.
So we are able to generate, you know, business points through that. And then something that I didn't share earlier was I'm not shy when it comes to paying cash for stays, especially when we get a good rate, because I decided to become a travel agent on the side. Frankly, I don't have any clients. It's really just us because no one that we know likes to travel as much as we do, but I'm able to get a commission on that. And I'm able to get us free breakfast and like a Marriott where we don't have status, or in a boutique hotel. So that's just my side hustle, really just to enhance this hobby that we have. So we loved the A380 trip so much that we decided to fly into Milan again. But instead of doing the Lake region and doing Northern Italy, we wanted to figure out Rome for the first time. And like I said earlier, I really use Instagram to give us inspiration. And we try to mix history and city with a beach wherever we go. So I figured, why not try Sardinia? Because one, there really weren't that many points hotels options in Positano or the Amalfi Coast. And also all those stairs with strollers and kids, that wasn't happening. So Sardinia was perfect. And there are a few points hotels, but the number of rooms we would have needed, the number of points, one, it didn't make sense. And two, we just didn't have that many points. So that's where me being a travel agent on the side, able to get commission, a hotel credit, and just using that as a points building opportunity, that really made sense for us. But instead of staying at the Park Hyatt Milan this time, we stayed at the Hyatt Centric, which is not as bougie and the beds are smaller and it just wasn't the same experience. It was still a nice hotel. And I wanted to stay there because we've never stayed at a Hyatt Centric before. And that was the 10th hotel stay that we needed to get that check mark, to get our second hotel bingo free night certificate with Hyatt, which if you're in the Northeast area or if you need a fly out of JFK, the Hyatt JFK is like $300-$400 a night. I'm not paying that cash to stay overnight before we travel. It's a great use of either points or your free night certificates. They have a sugar factory. It's a casino. It's like a whole vibe before you travel. We love staying there. So we got our free night there. We had to book two nights. We actually used my husband's Capital One Venture X $300 travel credit for that second room. So we just used points one night and then his credit the second night. Stayed in Rome, paid cash at a Hilton property because my husband has diamond status. So we were able to get free breakfast. They were gracious enough to let us squeeze into a junior suite, even though technically we should have gotten a more expensive room. But that's what I appreciate about having status. They were more flexible. It doesn't hurt to ask. We were able to do a family photo shoot in the Trevi Fountain and in front of the Colosseum. We did a golf cart tour, which I highly recommend. And then we actually ended up doing a live tour of the Colosseum based on one of the episodes that you did with the owner of Live Tours. So that was amazing and super moving. And then we just paid cash for our flight to Sardinia and from Sardinia to Frankfurt. Sardinia is stunning, like the bluest water outside of the Caribbean. But we also haven't been to the Maldives yet. So, you know, maybe competitive there. Absolutely loved it. Highly recommend doing a more boutique stay there just that you really get a more authentic feel for the island and the culture. And then Frankfurt, we didn't really have time to explore. We were really just there for 24 hours because I wanted to fly that Fifth Freedom, Singapore, Frankfurt to JFK, which was actually by accident because we were supposed to stay in Switzerland, fly home from Milan on that Emirates flight, but my husband had to come home early for work obligations. So Aeroplan came to the rescue and we were able to get four seats from Frankfurt on Singapore. Great experience as well.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. So Natasha, that was fantastic. That was a fantastic breakdown. And you kept saying things. I was like, oh, but I was like, no, let me let her cook. She's just going in. So let me let her flow. I want to unpack a few things that you talked about with that experience. So first, for those that aren't familiar, if you're new to Points and Miles or new to maybe the world of Hyatt, that what Natasha was talking about with the getting that check mark at staying at a Hyatt Centric, which I actually don't think I have that one myself, is that they have the Brand Explorer Awards. And so every five different brands you stay at, so a Hyatt House, Hyatt Place, Grand Hyatt, Park Hyatt, Hyatt Regency, as an example, that's five different locations, or five different brands, I should say. Every five that you stay, you get a free night certificate that you can use at a category 1 through 4 Hyatt. And at the Resorts World Hyatt, which is in at the JFK, I stay there myself as well for an overnight after positioning to fly out of JFK. That is a category 4 hotel. So great use of a free night certificate to stay there. So wanted to kind of clarify that piece, because that is a very easy way, without being globalist, without pushing for all the nights, to actually be able to get a free night certificate through Hyatt. So I love that you mentioned that aspect. And then the other piece that I really love is that you mentioned the Live Tours. So for anyone new to the show or has not listened back at episode 72 with Angelo, the founder of Live Tours, he talks about some incredible, incredible, incredible tours and experiences that he curates, very small group experiences, specifically in Rome and other cities as well. But he talks about probably one of the most incredible tours you could possibly ever do in the Vatican in there. I'm not going to spoil it for you. If you want to hear about it, you got to go back to episode 72. But let me ask you, actually, Natasha, as someone that heard him on the show, booked a Live Tour experience, what was your experience overall on that tour? And I've got to hear.
It was so moving. So we did the Live Tour that was the Colosseum, and then you actually got access to the stadium floor. And just hearing about the history, what the gladiators went through, all the animals, the fact that there was water added to it, you can literally feel the vibrations. So that was amazing. And I was kind of nervous. I thought that these tours would be significantly more expensive, but it might have just been, you know, a couple weeks out that we booked. They were actually pretty comparable, if not cheaper, and they accommodated my kids. And our tour guide was a saint, because our kids were definitely crashing out at 2 something in the afternoon, like sweltering Rome June heat. But she did amazing. She was super accommodating with us and our family and so informative. Like, I would absolutely 10 out of 10 recommend them. And I would do one of their tours again in a heartbeat.
Awesome. And I know, because when we went to Rome, we stayed at an Airbnb that was right next to the Colosseum, which was incredible. But I also know we would get up in the morning and there'd be busload after busload after busload of these massive tour groups coming into the Colosseum. Do you happen to remember roughly how big your tour group size was? Because I know that they said that they curated, you know, smaller groups was their more of their mantra.
I want to say it was maybe 6 people. It must have been 6, because I paid for my husband, myself, my 2 kids, and then there was just one other couple. So 6 people, really nice and small and intimate. My inner historian was able to ask all of the questions that I wanted to. And we were also able to just zip right through the line, which was great because the line was insane. And if you want to take pictures or do anything, to your point, the lines are insane. We did our photo shoot at 7 something in the morning. So just, you know, plan early so that you can beat all of the lines and definitely get gelato.
Now, on your flight there, I know that you, on the first time you went 2024 to JFK to Milan, you flew on the A380 in Emirates. Was that the A380 again, or did you get the 777 on this time when you went to Milan?
A380.
Perfect. So I've mentioned this before on our trip that we came, our last trip to the Maldives. We flew on the way back. We had first class. This is so many first world problems here. First class on the 777. So I didn't get to take a shower on the plane, unfortunately, for our 5-hour leg. But our 15-hour flight was on the A380 from Dubai to JFK. And that was an incredible experience. So as you're talking about that bar on the plane, I'm like, man, I wish I took more pictures, more videos, because it was such a, I mean, I took a lot, but it was such an incredible experience to always go back and relive that. So you flew Emirates there, business class, A380, top-notch experience. As you said, the Bulgari products, all those different things. How was that Singapore Airlines flight on the way back? How would you compare that with Emirates? I've flown Singapore a few times, and then for our honeymoon, we're going to be actually flying Singapore Airlines again. So I'm curious, what was your experience of Singapore versus Emirates? I know different levels here, but love your feedback.
Definitely first world problems. I'm definitely going to sound out of touch here, but hey, I'm owning it. It's a great experience. The customer service was amazing. The flight attendants were literally fighting over who could hold my baby. That's how amazing they are. They had like Minnie Mouse stuffed animals. They even had food options for my lap infant. So that is unheard of. And my toddlers are really picky. They don't eat airplane food. So the flight attendants were going to the back of the plane, getting my kids bag of Dorito after bag of Dorito. So service is amazing. But then I'm looking at the amenity kit and it's like a toothbrush and like, I couldn't even tell you the brand. And again, now that we're accustomed to this level of luxury, that just, you know, and you're giving the face because you know exactly what I'm talking about. So great experience. If we hadn't have done Emirates compared to Air France, I would say it's slightly better, slightly more comfortable. But compared to Emirates, I'm sorry, nothing beats that except for I've heard Qatar Q Suites, which we haven't done yet. So out of Emirates and Singapore, I would have to say hands down Emirates wins. But again, Singapore soft product is absolutely amazing. So I say try to fly either, try to fly both, but I prefer Emirates over that.
Understood. Absolutely understood. Now I know though, you've got another trip coming up and Emirates has kind of changed in the last, not kind of, has changed dramatically in the last few months now, as far as ease of transferring points from pretty much all the carriers or all the banks, I should say, to Emirates to fly. So I know you have a really amazing trip coming up. I believe it's to the Maldives. I know how much you love flying Emirates. I'm curious, did a lot of these changes influence this next trip of yours?
Oh, absolutely. So a few moments back, I mentioned that we were actually supposed to fly home from Milan on this past summer trip, but we had to come home early due to my husband's work obligations. Now we're sitting on 348,000 Emirates SkyMiles, which can't let those go to waste. And what? So we're going to Maldives for Christmas break. So earlier this summer, we're now looking at about 6 months out. I could have risked having those 348K sit in our account, but one, I'm afraid of hackers taking my points away. And two, earlier this summer was around the time where we were getting, you know, a friendly heads up from the major banks to say, hey, starting on X date, we're either suspending points transfers to Emirates or we're going to be changing the transfer ratio. But as a lot of us in this points and miles hobby know, it's not great to necessarily sit and hoard points and miles. The devaluations, I was getting nervous. There was no guarantee that the A380 was one going to be offered on JFK to Milan or the Newark to Athens flight, but that I could even get 4 tickets. So that's when I, you know, decided to lay my negotiation and bribing skills to my husband to say, hey, I've always wanted to go to the Maldives. This is probably our only chance. If we're going to transfer points, we need to do this now before the transfer ratios really devalue and aren't in our favor. And I don't want 348K to go to waste. So that's really how we got this started. And leaving Christmas Day literally left us with one flight option for 4 tickets. Now we just have to figure out our way home.
Got it. So absolutely have been there. I will say, I haven't mentioned this in a while on the show, my favorite, absolute favorite day to fly is Christmas Day. Because, and this has been for years, even before I was in the points and miles space, I love flying on Christmas Day because everyone that's working at the airport knows they're going to work Christmas. They've known for a year. So they're mentally prepared. Everyone's happy, jolly, et cetera, et cetera. And again, I don't have kids. And so I'm not there like missing out on like presents being opened in the morning or whatever it may be. But like, it's a quiet day to fly because almost no one is flying on Christmas Day. So I think that will be a really great experience for you guys in its own. But I do also want to come back to the point about you having to pivot. So a work thing came up. You had to change your flight, come back earlier. You had to stay with points at Emirates, which tells me that you had to rebook some other option instead. I'm curious, can you talk through a little bit, because I think that's a great example of like having to make a quick decision, a quick change, like going a different route than planned in the points and miles space, which is very different than just, oh, I got to buy a last minute cash ticket. So can you talk a little bit about kind of what that felt like, what that was like having to deal with the emotions and the thoughts of like, oh crap, well now I got to cancel this flight, I have the Emirates. Can you talk through that moment? Not necessarily, of course, the reason, but the like that moment of having to deal with that juggle a little bit.
Oh, absolute stress, one. And two, we're now spoiled because of this hobby. So it's not just figuring out how to get home, but it's how do we get home in business? How do we get four seats? And in about a year, we're now going to need five seats. So definitely that stress, but also thank goodness for points and miles, because there was no penalty to cancel our flight home on Emirates. Yes, we would have to figure out how to use those points and miles later, but there was no harm or any penalty on us. That's when, you know, the beauty of Air Canada Aeroplan came in. I've always heard people talk about it, but I've never used them myself. The fact that it's a flat rate, 60K a person, and I think it's 2,500 points to add my lap and fit, and then less than $300 cash and taxes and fees, sold. Like that was our way home. And I've always heard great things about Frankfurt to JFK's Singapore Air. So that's how we use that. So once we figured out, okay, no penalty to cancel, there's definitely availability on this date to come home, we can just use, you know, X amount of points or a free night certificate at the Hyatt Frankfurt Airport Hotel. Great. After that, that was pretty easy. But definitely that level of stress of, one, what's the fee going to be? Okay, great. There's nothing. Now, how can we actually get home in comfort?
I absolutely love that. And next time, if you do happen to be in that position or any of the listeners that find themselves with an overnight in Frankfurt, we actually did the same. I think it was actually on our trip that we did Spain, we did Italy, and then on our way back, we stopped in Frankfurt specifically. So yeah, so anyone that's staying overnight in Frankfurt, because I think we had a 16-ish hour layover. It wasn't a full 24 hours, but basically it was getting in the afternoon. We had dinner in Frankfurt. I actually met a friend that I had made randomly in Brazil on a dive trip years ago. He said, hey, if you're ever in Frankfurt, let me know. Didn't think that would ever like actually happen, but I hit him up on WhatsApp. He met me at a park. We actually had some beers in the park, which was really cool. But anyway, there's a fine hotel resort called the Steinberger Icon Frankfurter Hof Hotel. I remember that back when it was only a $200 credit, it was pretty easily covered. And this was a stunning, absolutely stunning hotel, absolutely gorgeous, not far from the airport at all. So I would highly recommend anyone that wants to use up an Amex credit there to stay there. So I love how you unpacked all those different things, Natasha, and all these amazing trips. I'm curious, before we start to wrap up, when it comes to the Maldives, I know you said that you have to figure out how you're getting home. And that's, you know, that's the story of our points and miles world, is we will book the flight there and then figure it out later on how to get back. Where are you staying?
We are staying at the Hilton Maldives Amangiri, I think is how you pronounce it. Now, I know in our group chat, I mentioned, great, right before the latest devaluation, I got an SLH property at 150K Hilton points, which was amazing. But it was a lot of money out of pocket to get the seaplane transfers. And the only business class flight that we were able to get from Dubai to Malé landed right around 3:30 in the afternoon, which is literally the cutoff for the latest that your plane could arrive to take a seaplane transfer that same day. And we didn't want to take an earlier flight because we have young kids and it's a lot to ask of them in really early morning. So we try to take a 10 something a.m. flight out of Dubai. So that had us really nervous. Then this latest devaluation came, I want to say last week or 2 weeks ago. And I noticed a bunch more availability at this Hilton property. Not great because it's 175K Hilton points a night, but we had the points available. We were able to use a fifth night free, which is amazing. And we figured with all of these devaluations, we don't really have much more to play with. Might as well just go all out. And it's a speedboat ride. And we're saving a couple thousand dollars compared to that other hotel. So to me, just to limit the amount of out-of-pocket, because as you know, the taxes and fees going into and out of Dubai, we're paying, you know, $800 to $900 a person, which we wouldn't be going to Dubai otherwise. And it's such a long flight that you have to go business. So yeah, we're staying at the Hilton property, and then we figured we would fly regular economy from Malé to Doha because they didn't have any business availability on the day that we needed, and we need to be back so that my husband and daughter can go to work and school respectively. But we were able to get Q Suite availability from Doha to Amsterdam, not home directly. And then we were going to do Delta Comfort or Delta Premium Economy from Amsterdam home. I opened up a Delta card and everything, transferred a bunch of my Amex points, secured our seats. Literally 2 days later, I get an alert from Thrifty Traveler. Love their daily alerts. It was actually going to be fewer points to fly Air France business class from Amsterdam. So we have a bunch of points sitting in our Delta account, but we're going to be flying home on business and pretty much business every single leg.
Absolutely love that. And one of the things that you mentioned, I think it is important for people to know that I want to visit these aspirational properties, especially somewhere like the Maldives. I mentioned this in our previous Maldives episode. So if you haven't caught those, I would highly encourage you to go back to listen to those. While you can do a lot of things with points when it comes to the Maldives, like getting there, flying business class, flying back home, your stays, whether at a Hilton property or even the Park Hyatt where we stayed, there's a lot of extra cost in the Maldives that you don't typically have to factor in, like your transportation from Malé, the capital there, to whatever hotel you're staying at. Are you taking a speedboat? Are you taking a regional jet, a seaplane? That can literally be a few hundred dollars per person for a round trip. Not to mention, if you're staying at a place where it's not all-inclusive, the cost for food there can be very expensive. I remember at the Park Hyatt, a literal burger, it was an amazing burger, but a literal burger was $50 for a burger. So this is where things can add up, that it is important for people to know that, yes, you can do a lot of benefit or a lot of good, I should say, with points and miles and get nearly free travel, but there's always going to be other costs in there.
And DeAndre, I don't mean to interrupt, but also if you're flying during the holidays, i.e. Christmas, Christmas Eve, and New Year's, there's also a mandatory gala fee, which is a couple hundred dollars per person, including kids. So I think it was Point Me to First Class. That's actually how I found out about your podcast, because you were on an episode. She brought her kids over Christmas break to the Park Hyatt Maldives. And that's where I first heard about this compulsory or mandatory New Year's Eve dinner. Well, the Hilton does that. Most of the hotels do that. So that's yet another couple thousand dollar expenses. So I know a lot of influencers in this hobby tote nearly free travel. We're very fortunate in the sense that we would still be taking these trips, probably not as many and probably not at the level of luxury that we're able to now. We're using points and miles to enhance our stays rather than to fully supplement. But I just going off of your point, that's a really big thing to highlight, because a lot of these places, you are going to have to pay cash, and that's okay. That might just mean you're either going to choose somewhere else or just being prepared for that.
Awesome, Natasha. I absolutely love that tip. And I'm thinking back when I was there over Christmas and New Year's, I was on Scuba Spot. So I was on a liveaboard. And then when I went to the Park Hyatt, it was just after. So I think we missed that additional gala fee, although we still paid extra for like the lobster dinner night or whatever it may be, the beach barbecue night. But you're right. I think that's why it's important on the, you know, financial advisor talking financial responsibility side. Don't think, hey, I can go and stay at a hotel for free and not have all these additional costs. And in a place like the Maldives specifically, they can really creep up on you. And it's not like you're paying $10 for a pizza, it's like $50. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Natasha, we got to start wrapping up here. This has been a fantastic, fantastic conversation. Before we do, I want to ask you, as someone that's relatively newer to points and miles, you've done some amazing trips. So you're at this point pretty much a pro. You're doing it not just for two people, but now at this point, a family of five. I'd love to hear what would just be some of your top tips, top recommendations for other families that hear your story and they're like, I want to be able to do that as well. I have young kids. I've got a larger family. What would be some of your top tips for those that want to do aspirational travel like this, but with maybe young kids or a larger family?
I have really low expectations going in. That sounds very basic, but I know for one of our first trips, I think my son was 6 months old. We actually had to cancel a trip to Miami because they both had hand, foot, and mouth. They both had a double ear infection, and we did not have travel insurance. So then our next trip was a Disney cruise. And I had an employee discount, so that was kind of my intro to travel hacking, but my daughter threw up on me as we were getting off the boat. So just having really low bar really sets the stage, and making sure that, you know, you're trying the best that you can to have flights where they're either asleep or not too early or not too late. And just know that the kids are going to have meltdowns. Like, I'm talking about these super ambitious trips and making them sound really rosy. My five-year-old is over here like kicking and screaming in Rome because we had to wake up super early for a photo shoot, which I get. And it's going to happen, but I'd rather it happen at a hotel where we can order room service, or we're in paradise and on a beach, because it's going to happen at home or it's going to happen here. So I think level setting the expectations is huge, and also comfort. Like, when it comes to flying to the Caribbean or Florida, it's a 2-3 hour flight. We're fine sitting in economy. But like I said earlier on in our conversation, anything more than 5 or 6 hours, we really want that comfort, so that if our kids need to take a nap, they're able to lay flat. And that just makes for a more enjoyable experience for them and also for us.
Natasha, I absolutely love that. That was a fantastic, fantastic tip. You said something that I remember someone else on my show, I think a year or so ago, had referenced. They were like, yeah, if they're going to have a meltdown, they're going to kick, they're going to scream, they're going to cry, might as well do it in paradise versus just doing it at home, because at least you can be looking at paradise while they're having a meltdown. So I completely understand that. Natasha, where can the listeners connect with you if they want to learn more about either your travels or just get advice, travel advice from you? Where's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, probably would be Instagram. My handle is TashasTravels1.
Perfect. Well, we'll go ahead and link to that in the show notes. And one thing I forgot to mention is that you had mentioned that you're like, hey, I'm a travel agent, right? So a travel advisor, and you're your own client, right? And that's fantastic, because one of the things they actually say as financial advisors for us, especially early on, is they were like, hey, be your own best client, right? Make sure whatever you're recommending for your clients, investments, insurance strategies, blah, 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 you're doing yourself. So I can see where that can resonate, right? Be a travel agent for yourself. And I mean, that's another form of, let's call it travel hacking, right? You're playing the game. You don't need to have a bunch of clientele to be able to get the perks of being a travel agent. So absolutely love that as well. Natasha, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
I think we covered everything. And sorry, I tend to be a talker, but this is my jam. I think one of your previous guests mentioned, you know, being a former athlete and, you know, just the level of competition. This is super competitive, and it's my jam. Like, aside from my kids and my family, I live and breathe points and miles, because it's not just about, you know, a travel itch. It's really about creating these opportunities, and we're able to do things and go places that we wouldn't have been able to go to before. And I know you typically end up asking, you know, if there's anybody else that you should have on. I have learned so much from Fancy Travel Pointers. I think she's amazing. She, you know, does everything from the Southwest Companion Pass, you know, bougie travel on a budget. And that's clearly right up my alley.
I love that. You took the next question out of my mouth. So I'm going to just roll with that. That proves how much you listened to the show, because you already knew it was coming. So Natasha, thank you for not only being on the show today, but also being a loyal listener and giving so much insight, not just here through this episode, but with the chats. I mean, you're super helpful and active in the WhatsApp community chat. And I love the group that we've built here. So thanks so much again for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for the listeners out there, if you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all the social media channels, sign up for our newsletter, join our community chat as well. You'll get to connect with Natasha, pick her brain on some of the family travel as well. As always, leave a like, leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends, do all the things, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. the strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.